well and desire your prayers. I definitely need the Lord to help me out today. I believe that every one of us that's saved has a purpose. I believe everyone has a call, a ministry, an influence. I don't believe that the Lord saved anyone and not given them something to do. And maybe sometimes it's more obvious than others. But I believe everyone that loves the Lord has an influence to somebody else's life. And I know that's been questioned many times. I've had many people say out loud to me, "I don't know what my calling is. I don't know, what am I supposed to be doing?" Those kind of things. I don't think it's just my thought. I think the scripture says that. Every man was given talent. There was something that God has given us all to do. And I want you to know today that you have an influence. You have something given of God. If you have God in your life, if you can simply say, "I'm saved." If you can testify and know in your heart what God's done for you, you have the message. It's as simple as that. That sounds like it's oversimplifying it, but that's as simple as it is. When you can say with power because you experienced it, because you know it, in your own life, "God has saved me, changed me from that person that I was into a new creature," then you've got the message. And it's influential to people's lives. And people need today that message more than any other message that there is. They need to know that today. People need that above our economy picking up. They need it above the laws that keep our society in place. They need this message that Jesus still saves. And you have that message. You know what that means. If you've been saved today, you have that influence. So I want to encourage us today that no matter where you're at, You may be discouraged and look and say, "Well, somebody's got this job and somebody goes here and somebody's doing that and seems like I'm not doing a whole lot." Do you know if you're a mother today with the gift of salvation in your life, you've got a great gift to tell. You've got something to give to the children that you're raising. You have the most special gift, the most valuable thing that a mother can give a child. And who knows what influence that you'll have on the generations to come if God tarries. Who knows what that influence may be? I read where one of the most outstanding men of God in history was John Wesley. If you've ever read some about him and read some of his sermons and those kind of things, he had something from the Lord. You know who he contributed that to other than the Lord himself? Mom. Dear old mom. She may have went through her life saying, "I never accomplished a thing. Never only done anything but raised a bunch of children and changing dirty diapers and trying to teach them how to pray and doing that. Never done anything probably for anybody else," but she had some boys that did. But through the influence of her life, she was able to further the kingdom of God. You know, you have that ability today. Does anyone here not have a neighbor? That neighbor is a place that God wants you to work. You say, "Well, I hardly can say the right words." Sometimes it's a matter of living life. Sometimes it's a matter of a gift at the right time. Sometimes it's a matter of being there when somebody needs something. Sometimes it's an encouraging word. Sometimes it's just the influence of the love of Christ that's in your heart, that you can give out because it's there. You don't have to drum it up, don't have to work it up, don't have to try to get it all together. It's just there. Is it possible that people with God in their lives don't care about the souls of men? I say it's impossible. For the passion of Christ was the soul of men. And I think when that passion, when that love of God's in you, you'll have the same passion and desire for those that are around you too. I put on the board my thought is keep the fig tree. It's found over in Proverbs 27th chapter, 18th verse. It says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." Solomon, given wisdom from God to understand the nature of things like no one else has, looked into the nature of this. And he looked and this is of course in an earthly sense, wrote this way. He that keepeth the fig tree, he's the one that's going to get eat. He's taking care of it. To me, this idea captures the idea of faithfulness, of enduring, and of vision. Because the truth of it is a good part of a fig tree's life and a good part of the season of a fig tree, it don't have any figs on it. So you're not eating of it all the time, but the potential of the fig tree is always for fruit. It has no other real value to it. Brother Ed said one time, what would you do with it? You can't saw it into lumber. You ever seen a fig tree? You couldn't make a board out of it. There's nothing much straight about it that you could do any building or anything with it. He said you hardly could make a good peg to hang your hat on out of one. It only has one purpose. It's because it bears fruit, life-giving food that is to be enjoyed by the one that takes care of it. I understand that the idea of a fig tree is that it's constant work and labor to take care of fig trees. And you take care of them when there's no figs on them. Actually, a lot of fruit trees are better fertilized and took care of in its dormant stage. Not when there's fruit on it. So why would somebody do it? You look at it and say there's nothing there. There's a scripture that commanded the army of Israel, if I get this right, you forgive me if I miss it. But in my memory, I read a scripture that talked about, and the Lord commanded them when they went into the land that they could cut down the trees, but to not cut down fruit trees. They wasn't allowed to cut the fruit trees down. And I've thought of that before. It didn't say not to cut trees down that had fruit on it. It said that they was forbidden to cut down a fruit tree. Well, the reason is because the Lord is interested in the potential. The Lord sees the potential of every soul today. The Lord looks at it different than we do. When we look on filthiness and we look on sin and destruction and those kind of things, we look on it and say, but the Lord can see that through the blood of Christ, what it can do. You're not allowed to cut the fig tree down. You're not allowed to cut the fruit tree down because it's got potential of fruit on it. Thank the Lord today He didn't cut me down when I wasn't barren. But He saw the potential of my life. That there is something there that I can work with, that I can deal with. To those, Lord help us to keep the fig tree. Don't give up, folks. This idea is one of faithfulness. Of enduring. And of vision. Faithfulness that I'm going to go on and be faithful to God. I'm going to go on and be faithful to the souls of men when it looks like the odds are against me, when it looks like everything is falling down around me, when it looks like the darkest of times is hit, when it looks like nobody wants the Lord, I'll be faithful. I will go on witnessing for the Lord. I'll go on living for the Lord. I'll go on with a vision and a hope and a faith that God is able to do the impossibles when it's the darkest time. What did it look like when they took Jesus and put him on that old cross? What did it look like to those disciples that heard his words? Now they took this one and they trusted on. Surely he'll call himself down. Surely he's going to do another miracle like he always done. But no, what did he do? He gave himself and just went ahead, and it must have looked awful dark when they went and took his body down and the hope was gone. Oh, what are we going to do now? Looked pretty dark, dreary, didn't it? And they took him and put him in a tomb. It's over. It's over. It's dark. It's gloomy. Hang on. Hang on, because the tree is about to bud. And Jesus came forth out of there. Keep the fig tree today. Keep your hope. Keep your faithfulness. Keep going when it looks like that nothing's working. Have you ever said, boy, nobody wants the Lord? You know what the life of a fig tree is? It starts out this tender little plant that you can just snap off. You can just snap off. And it, you know that there is fruit trees that takes literally decades to ever get anything off of them? Now, I've told this before, but it's been a real... I've loved the idea of fruit trees and orchards and that almost since I was a little boy. And when I got up big enough to be able to do some stuff like that, I remember different times going to the garden centers and those kind of places. And I look at these fruit trees, and I want to tell you what always deterred me. I would go, and somebody would be $20, and $20 was a lot of money. And I'd look at these trees, and what always got me when I read the tag and it said, bear fruit in 5 to 7 years. And I would say, $20 in 5 to 7 years? I don't see putting $20 into this 5 to 7 year thing. It's just too long to do it. Well, after a while, I looked at that, and I looked at the tree one day, and it says, 5 to 7 years is such a long time. And then I thought, I've been saying that for 25 years. For 25 years, I've not invested. I've not put anything into it because it was too far out there. Do you realize today, folks, that this fig tree starts out as this little thing that's so tender that can be around, and you care for that and because with faithfulness? And you endure all that it has to do. You fight the diseases. You fight the insects that would come against it. You fight the creatures that would want to devour it. You defend it. You do all that. And it grows, and you help it along, and you work with it, all because you have a vision that that's a fruit tree. That's a fruit tree. And that thing's going to bear one of these times. That's the way the Lord wants you and I to be about the souls that are in our world. Don't give up on them, because God wants them in there. God wants you to pray for them. God wants you to work with that fruit tree. God wants you to realize that this thing can bear fruit. We had an example up home that stays with me. Brother Jim White was saved, and some of you knew him. His wife wasn't saved. For 30 years, Brother Jim prayed for his wife. 30 long, hard years. I'm going to tell you, I knew some of it. It was long, hard years. He went to Brother Sam. He testified to me this before he died. He said he went to Brother Sammons one time. He told Brother Sammons, the situation is unbearable. My wife's off running around. I'm trying to live for the Lord. Things are unbearable. What should I do? He said, I'm thinking about just getting out of here, splitting it off, whatever. Brother Sammons told Brother Jim, said, under the circumstance, there's no one that would blame you. He said, but if you do, your wife will never be saved. Brother Jim considered that, and he told me, I gave my life for it. 30 years he kept the fig tree. 30 years he prayed for her, diligently prayed for her, done all that he could do. And when she was in the home, before she died, a year or so more before she died, there come a time that she looked at him and said, Jim, I want to be saved. 30 years of hard life, 30 years of discord, 30 years of this, and Brother Jim held in there. Did he weary? Yeah, he needed help from time to time. Sure he did. The scripture says in Galatians, be not weary in well doing. Because in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. You'll reap if you faint not. I remember the time I was in service one time. Prayer requests come, and Brother Jim put his prayer request in, and he didn't say, pray for our wife. And I remember it just really stuck out to me. I said, is he wearying? I wonder if Brother Jim's getting tired. Next service, pray for our wife. He was right there again, 30 years. Then his wife said, Jim, I want to be saved. Called for Brother Tony and Sister Jean, and went over, had prayer with her. Brother Jim had a testimony after that. And it wasn't just my wife prayed. My wife changed. The Lord saved her. She's different. She's so sweet. 30 years of taking care of the fig tree that was entrusted into his life. Keep the fig tree. This scripture says, whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So I want to think about eating the fruit thereof. Because it is our vision. It is our hope. When we look on the world around about us, the passion of the Lord, I want to tell you the Lord fulfilled his job. He fulfilled it. He said it's finished. It was done. The perfect plan of salvation has been brought. It will work in every case that meets the condition. But he wants us, as his people, to be standing there for him, reaching out for him, loving in his stead, standing there as an ambassador of the Lord to reach the souls of people around, to be faithful when it is dormant, to be faithful when it looks like there's nothing good coming, to still stay there where the Lord would have us to do. We've probably all had these experiences, but I've had a number of them in my life. And I want to tell you, the Lord always comes through when we're faithful. I've had disagreements, if you want to call it, not from me, but I've had these situations that my neighbors have got into at times before when my heart was only good to them. Only thing I wanted was to be close and be able to help and do these things. And it seemed like the devil would get stirred in there and get them stirred up at me for some reason or another. But that was the fig tree. That was something to stay faithful. You know what this scripture says is that, you know who's going to eat of this fig tree when it starts bearing? The one that kept it. You know who gets the greatest blessing, the most encouraging? And I want to encourage us today, because you don't know the complexity of the life that's ahead of you. And you don't know that the very means of your salvation might be the very fig tree that you raise. It's more than possible that the one that we've encouraged, the one that we've blessed, the one that we've been faithful to, the one that we prayed for and gave our life to, might be the very one when our head's hanging down that comes back to us and say, lift your head up, brother, I'm with you. I'm right here. I'm right here. It's worked that way in my life. I had a neighbor that got upset at me, wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't wave at me while he was upset at me. I remember what my wife said the day that happened. She said, we're going to pray for him. And I thought, you know, that's a good way. Get a good saint to pray for you. Just do something against them. We're instructed to pray for those that despitefully use us. You want somebody to pray for you diligently? I'm not saying do this, but this is the way it works. So we started praying for him. I'd wave at him trying to be friends, and he would turn his head, and he was angry at me for no good reason. But the Lord started dealing with him, started working with this man. We was out there trying to cover up one of our cherry trees, a frost coming. This was the first time it really broke down, and we was over there, and the wind was blowing. We was trying to go and put this tarp on this tree, and he saw us, and he come over there, and he was kind of trying to help, and he finally said to me, he said something about, I don't know why you're putting that on there anyway. Just trust the Lord. I thought, well, maybe I should. You know, later we was out there, my family was out there, we was painting the house. You never know. We was painting the house, and he came over. And he said, I've got a big ladder. You want a ladder? And I said, well, we got some ladders and all. And he said, well, now if you need help moving those ladders around, you holler at me, I'll help you. And he said, you need a good extension for that roller. And he got his extension over there, and he was doing this and that for me. And it was a little awkward, I'll be honest with you, but I kind of let him do that, and we was doing that. And then I learned something. This man says, kind of teary-eyed, he said, been watching your family over here. We was having fun. He said, been watching your family. He said, that's the way a family ought to be. You know what I learned? Hadn't seen his son in a long, long time. Broke up, wasn't with his wife. Things was bad in his life. He looked over there and seen a family. We wasn't, in our minds, we wasn't thinking about reaching out to souls. We was living for God. And what was coming out of our lives was what God give us. You have influence on people, folks. That would have been easy for me to have said to this man, you treated me that way for no cause, and so forget you. It would have been easy enough to have a scrap right in the middle of the road over the thing. Been easy enough to stood up for what it... But it's better to keep the fig tree. Because I'm going to tell you, since that time, this neighbor of mine is a very close friend. This man will do just about anything to help me out. He loans me stuff. He brings this guy has a high level of respect and honor for our family. I'm eating the fruit. Is he safe? No. We hope that. We envision it. We can pray for it. But I'm already starting to eat the fruit of what God works in these people's lives. Folks, don't you realize that keeping the fig tree, you're the one that's going to eat the blessings of the fruit that it gets. When you sacrifice, when you give, no, there's no fruit on this, and there won't be for a long, long time. But I'm going to tell you something. When this thing starts bearing, there's going to be a lot of people getting to eat of the tree, but I'm going to tell you, I'm the one that's going to get the most satisfaction and the most benefit and the most blessings out of it. It's what's closest to my life. We had there in our, they're not there now, but we had there in our little neighborhood some children that really had never been raised right. They'd never been taught hardly anything, and it was kind of hard. They like to come over with our children and all. But I'm going to tell you what came into my mind over and over about these children. Sometimes their language wasn't good and their behavior wasn't good and all this. But you know what always came into my mind? Maybe that I can plant something. Maybe they can see something of us. That when they grow up and have these needs in their life. And I always looked at them and said, you know, they're not going to be little boys all their life. They're going to grow up and be men one day. And so when I looked at them, I always said, is there some way? And I'd go around there sometimes, and sometimes I'd even get frustrated and say, you're not going to have to. By the time I'd get around there or something, they'd get me and I'd think, They're going to grow up one of these days. They're going to need something in their life. If only maybe they'll look and say, I had a neighbor one time. I wonder if he still lives there. I knew a family one time that operated and worked and was like a family. I wonder if they're still there. Possibly a little influence. A little keeping of the fig tree. You know what would be a great blessing in my life? To have these boys learn about God. Oh, the greatest reward. We used to pray a lot, especially in the tent work. Give us souls for our hire. Lord, if you give us a soul, it all that would be the payment of it all. Lord, do you realize that soul saved is another bit of God for us? That soul that's rescued is somebody else to love you. That's somebody else to be able to be there when you're on your, if you have them, on your bad day. When the devil's taking advantage of the things around you, maybe that's another one to call and say, I'm in the battle with you. Let me tell you an experience I had, and I'm eating the fruit of the tree that I've been caring for. In actuality, you're all my trees. Really, in truth, every soul is my tree. That's my responsibility. And oh, how I'll reap. I remember when one of my children brought home from, had this little deal at school. If they was good, they got merits. And they, at a certain time, they could take their merits, and they went to the merit store. They had all these little things there, little deals that they could get. Well, my child spent their merits and got me this little glass thing that said, Dad. I'm going to tell you, that was fruit to me. Because I didn't say, now you go and get me something with your merits. It wouldn't have meant nothing if I'd have done that. And the idea that the store was full of these little toys and these little things that my child could have got. But he saw that. I'm going to tell you, that was fruit to me. Because it's the heart that's saying it. And do you know, that's what we're doing. When this scripture says that he that keepeth the fruit, the fig tree, will eat the fruit thereof. We have the potential of making such a difference in people's lives that it always comes back. It always will return. You don't know that you may down and beat out in your last dollar. And the one you gave your last dollar to will be the one that returns it back to you. The one that you prayed with tears, you prayed for, will be the one down praying for you. The one that you helped in time of need will be the one that helps you in time of need. This is what this scripture is. This is what Solomon's wisdom was bringing out to us. That in the natural sense, a man that cares and is faithful to the sapling and he brings it up, is it going to forsake him? Is he not going to get anything from it? No. He's the one that's closest to it. He's the one that watches the figs bud and it grow, and he watches them till they get their ripest, and he's checking them. He's there. And then when they got the highest sugar content, it's most valuable, it's most flavorful. He's the one that picks it. He's the one that enjoys it. It's the blessing to his own life. Living for God is not a spectator sport. There is no spectators involved. We're all players of the game of life. Oh, when one of our brothers gets in trouble and we're indifferent, and then you hear the report, God came down. It's still indifferent. But when we hear and we involve and we get in there and it's with passion, and we're praying with passion and we're giving our heart to this, Or so, there's someone that says, somebody, the Lord's dealing with his soul. Would you pray? And you get in there and pray. And then there's labor and there's work and there's toil. And then the word comes. They hit the rock. As deep as your passion was, is how much joy flows from the work that you've done. Keep the fig tree. Keep the fig tree. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. God, Jesus being our master, was the greatest of masters. And when we honor him and do his bidding, is he going to forsake us in that? Will there be no reward? Is the laborer worthy of his hire? Does God look down on his people, those that are giving their heart to it and their passion to it, and give them nothing of reward? I have found his rewards are great. And they're great rewards. He takes care of the natural, the carnal, the physical things of our life. He takes care of them, but much more than that. He gives us peace. The reward is great for working for the Lord. The satisfaction of a job done in God is not proud. Paul said, if I boast in it, let me boast in my infirmity. So I'll do it today. I'm weak and petty and meaningless. I have no ability to speak or do anything. But God works in our lives. If anything, I'll tell you how small I feel like I am when I try to do anything for God. But the Lord is faithful to those that labor for him. He's giving to us many, many precious things. Oh, they're not always to be measured by the world standards, or never to be measured by the world standard, but oh, how valuable they are today. You will make a difference in the kingdom of God if you'll be faithful. If you'll endure with purpose and vision of what God can do instead of the sight of what you see with your eyes around us. Oh, it's an old dark world that nobody wants to be saved. I see it different. Because I see people coming to God. I see people that's being wanting God. I'm seeing some people out there that's tired of what they have. I see some people, oh, is it a great revival? No! But I see God working in people's lives. Let me tell you where I'm from. I grew up without God. I was miserable and wretched at 23 years old. Didn't know what life was about. Didn't know what I'd done. I was miserable. In my life, I run around, I drunk. I done those things that a person shouldn't do. 23 years old, I was miserable. I couldn't have a relationship with somebody because I was so cantankerous and miserable. And the Lord saved me. And I'm still telling you, salvation works. When somebody comes along and starts down in the church and down in the saints and the work of God, I'm going to say, well, what happened to me? What happened to me? This is what happened. The Lord saved me. Thank the Lord. He saved me. And he called me to a better thing. I was a part of a group, and I still love the people, but it was so wrong in their idea and their level of what God could do. Of what God could really do in a life of deliverance and of satisfaction. And the Lord led me to truth. And I hold it so valuable today. And I know a whole bunch of brothers. I'm glad what the brother said there, Brother Clifford said. Glad I don't have to go to heaven by myself. Because I see the church. I see the church. I see those that have given their life. I see those that sacrifice and give anything. We live in a time that there's not a great revival. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen when God had it to do, his people rally to it. They have a heart to it. Wherever it's at. I've gone out there and done it and seen the saints back that thing because their heart was in it. It's the fig tree. It's God's work in this earth. It's our charge. It's our charge. We're responsible for this our day, 2010. It ain't left Apostle Paul. He wrote his letters. He spent his jail terms. He got his whippings. He had his shipwrecks. He endured. He said, it's finished. I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. He wrote those words and he said, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go get my crown. Not, there was a crown laid up for me, but not me only. But then he spent all of us down there. There's our crown. But he's not here in 2010 or we would wear him out probably with questions. But I want to tell you, we need to have some answers now. We need to have, in 2010, our sphere of influence. We need to be faithful to it. Does anyone in here have unsaved loved ones? Can they be saved? You willing to give you 30 years for it? You willing to take it as a sapling and start nourishing that thing? Being faithful? If you have to say, I'm sorry, say it. Yeah, sure, there'll be times you have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I did. Sure, it's a part of the process. And if let the tree come up and then, Lord help us. Children that aren't saved can be such a, I'm going to tell you, you hang in there till they're saved and your fruit will overflow in your baskets. There's nothing like that. You pray for somebody for a long time. You see the urgency of what sin is doing to people. It's destroying them. My heart goes out to young people when I look and see. I know at a certain age there, about the time they start getting of age, they start making decisions and start doing things. And oh, how often my heart goes to that and I say, oh, that they know better. That they wouldn't go down that path. But they do. So what's left if they do? We pray that they wouldn't. We make the best of it, but if they do, then what? We keep the fig tree. We keep our purpose. We make the ultimate place for them to return to. We give our lives to it. We embrace Jesus into our life fully. So much is damaged by the hypocrisy of living for God. That don't make sense to people's lives. But when we embrace Him totally, we give our all to it. Nothing stands before me and the Lord. Nothing. He's tops. Sure, I have things under me that's in life. I'm married. I have children. I have things I like to do. There's things that the Lord has made that's right. But nothing surpasses Jesus in my life. Nothing. And we present that. You want a life? Oh, did your heart ever go out to a couple that started their life off with such hope and such passion and desire for good things of life and they wanted to love one another and they wanted all these things in their life and they left out one important factor. They left God out. And they hoped and they dreamed and they wanted all these things. But what ends up happening? They end up, because without Him we're all selfish and self-centered. Those things start playing and before long they're at odds. And before long with children involved in all this, you see the splitting and all that. And you say, what can we do? We can keep the fig tree. Faithful, enduring, and with a vision. God can restore it. God can restore it. And if not, before life ends, bring salvation to their souls. Their never dying souls. Bring salvation to it. And I want to end with this thought today. There is an ultimate reward for keeping the fig tree. I have pondered it. I think about dying quite often, probably every day. I think about heaven quite often. I thought about the scripture where the Queen of Sheba, the queen from the south, had heard about Solomon and the greatness of the kingdom and the wisdom of Solomon and the glory and splendor of the temple and the temple worship. She made her way on this long journey to see it for herself. And her words were, when she seen it all, she had, I in my mind, envisioned her talking with Solomon and asking questions that she had pondered about life. And Solomon answered those questions. With wisdom, he said the best way to run kingdoms and the way that men work and the way things work and all that. And she pondered it. And I think that she saw the ascent of Solomon to the temple and all the fanfare that went with it and the glory that went with it. And she's just too much for her. There's a place on the earth like that. She went back saying, the half has never been told. You know, the Lord has put in the scriptures some ideas of heaven. And he's used natural things to try to get to a natural man what it'd be like. And I don't think we even come close half. I know what it talks about, things like streets of gold. And I mean, those kind of things are only illustrations to try to get to our mind the splendor. But it can't do it. I believe if somebody could come back that really seen it and said, hey, it ain't even close. But there is a reward for those that are faithful in this life. There is a reward for that, that extends beyond what we could ever think about. And as I, in my life, and my burden is not just about going to heaven, but my burden is that I labor to see that all that I have the possibility to go. That's my heart. Because the greatest of all this is the fact that wherever Jesus is light. It's satisfaction. In his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence is awe. It's euphoria. It's everything that a soul could long for. It's in Christ. To be in his presence is bliss. It is eternal heaven. Because I've tasted it here, and I'm going to tell you. There's no roller coaster ride. There's no sporting event. There's nothing I ever tried to do or in this flesh ever got close to the presence of Jesus filling my soul. So my burden today is we have a perishing world. There are so many people lost around about us. I can't touch the whole world. And it's not charged to me to do it. But it's charged to me to be faithful to the world the Lord give me. I can be faithful to every phone call. I can be faithful to every neighbor that lives around about us. I can be faithful to every visit to the grocery store. I can be faithful to every time I go to the library. I can be faithful to everywhere I go and what I do. I can be faithful to that. I am faithful to the days that I have. I am faithful to the children that I have. I am faithful to the neighbors of my mom, those that are around us. I am faithful to it and care for it and look at it as a plant that's designed for fruit. Do you know that person that really stirs you in your life is a fruit tree? They may not be having fruit, but they're made for it. If by working, and oh, wasn't there a scripture where the husbandman said, or the master said, cut it down. Just cut it down. But there was one that stood between him and the tree. And you remember what he said? Don't cut it down. Let me tend to it. Let me dig about it. Let me fertilize it. Let me dung it. Let me Father, let me try. I wonder how many times the Lord has said that in our behalf. Let me try. Let me go in and work. As ambassadors of the Lord, I believe the Lord puts us in that position that we pray and say, Lord, can I dig about it a little bit? Would you give me the opportunity? Would you make an avenue? Let me go in with a kind word. We recently were so blessed. One of the sisters up home got a burden to go to the old folks home. We hadn't done it for a long time. We went to the home. It was such a blessing. There were so many people there that just wanted somebody to talk to them. we went up there and was singing, and I thought the Lord did bless the singing, and they just wanted more and more and more. When we left, they called back the next day and said, would you all come back? Would y'all come back? We had the opportunity to just go in, and you'd be surprised how many people want prayer. They don't really care who you are. They don't care who you are, your theological beliefs. They just want you to come in and pray for them. They just have such need. It's such an opportunity. I'm going to tell you. I really believe that they was blessed because we went. But I doubt if they was blessed as much as our congregation was. Our congregation was so blessed because they kept the fig tree and they eat the fruit thereof. It was spiritual fruit. It gave them courage. It gave them a lift. It focused them back that life ain't all about me. It's about other people. It's about those that are around us. It gave us some perspective of things and caused you to learn. And Linda likes to make some treats, and at Christmas time, it's a perfect opportunity. And I'll go around our little neighborhood with a plate full of goodies and hand it to it, and you would be surprised the response that I've got of my neighbors, the thankfulness, the appreciation. I got to shovel off several people's older folks walk with. They'd have a shovel. I'd get my shovel and I'd go and be a walk there, and they couldn't get in and out of the house. I'd go and be able to do that. It's laborious. I'm gonna tell you, it's joyful work. It was such a blessing to know that every shovelful is for Jesus. Lord, I'm doing this. I care for him. I care as you care. And if we don't keep the fig trees, you don't eat of the fruit thereof. You don't eat of it. You don't get the blessing of it if we don't keep it. So Lord, help us today to have a heart like Jesus has. Lord, help us to have a missionary spirit in our life. Not that everyone's going to go to Africa and go to China or whatever. It's a spirit. It's the outreach spirit of those that are around us. It's the care of the most precious thing God gave, the soul of a man. It's about being there. It's amazing what kindness will do. It's amazing what some food will do. It's amazing what reaching out. But it's the spirit that does the work. It's caring and it's giving that makes the difference. And I know we live in a time that people's not running for spiritual things. I'm going to tell you, it's in a time that takes generations sometimes. It takes effort. It takes process. But I'm going to tell you, the fruit's still there. I believe it with all my heart. I've seen it in my own life. And when we back off from that and don't keep that part, we become self-centered. It becomes about us. And I'm going to tell you, I really believe this today. I just believe that a lot of problems that we kind of around with all the time is just simply taken care of in this process. Because you get your eyes... Somebody said something about me. Well, I'm not a fig tree to take care of. So, I mean, worrying about all this stuff sometimes. Getting about this hurt me and that done that. And how are we going to function with this and that. And let's just go take care of the vineyard. May the Lord bless us with it. It was His passion. I think of the scripture. Jesus said He must go by Samaria. And remember, they went to Samaria and the disciples was there, and the disciples went off to get some food. And the Lord went down to the well there at Samaria, and there was a woman of Samaria there. Now the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings with one another, so this woman was really surprised when Jesus come up and started talking to her, and she said, what are you talking to me for with this? And Jesus started imparting to her. Now, this woman had some questions about worshiping God that she asked the Lord and all. But one thing they knew, and it was very well established in these people's minds, was is that when the Messiah came, He would know all things. Jesus quickly got her attention. and told her what she was about and who she was. She could not deny that this was something special right here. She went down to, remember, she went down to Samaria. She went down there, and I'm going to tell you what, she must have been, she wasted no time. Because when she went down there, Jesus, in the meantime, it says, Jesus is back and his disciples come back. And the disciples are back with this idea of them satisfying their hunger and all about the natural. And they come and they said, we got food. Jesus said, I got food you know nothing about. Remember, Brother Clifford Wilson said right there that the Lord, by imparting to that woman, enlarged his own heart. That always stuck with me. Jesus, he wasn't worried about the food. He probably sent them to get the food. But it was no food time now. He had just imparted the words of life. His mission. His mission. What'd he come to? What'd he come for? Her. Them. He came and he imparted. And now he's not worried about food. He's worried about the imparting. And the disciples, still in their minds, said, somebody bring him something to eat. He's not hungry. Somebody else must bring him some food. No. He had imparted. And in doing so, he filled himself. He enlarged himself by it. And he went, and she went down there. Remember the story? She went down there and started preaching that there's one up here. Now, they knew what that meant when she went down there and said, there's a man up here that knows everything you ever done. We knew what that was written about. That was the Messiah. And wasn't that when Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, great multitude was coming out of the city. Great multitude coming. And he said to his disciples, I think it was at that time, the fields are white. It's time, is what he was saying. The time has come to care for the souls of men. This is the duty, the responsibility, and I think it is the most satisfying and fulfilling thing in a Christian's life to be able to impart the love of God and the care of Christ to them. To be able to say, this is my experience and it's for you too. You pray for me.